Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Etta Banks and Minister Tamika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, beloved. How are you? I pray that all is well, that you are up, got your cup of coffee and or tea. I wish I had mine right now. Maybe before this is over with, I'll have it. Don't know yet. But anyway, praise be unto God. It is a great, wonderful, beautiful day, and I thank the Lord for it. I do thank the Lord for it. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Also, I have the privilege of being the pastor of New Vision for Life Church. I do thank the Lord for the people that he has given me charge to take care of, to groom, to grow, to disciple, to bring them into the revelation knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And I am grateful. I am grateful. Not an easy task to do, but one that if God carved you out, created you for such a time as this, so be it. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. So, yes, beloved, I am excited. I am excited. I am excited. And, of course, you know with me this morning, I have my beloved co-host, loyal, faithful, very dedicated woman of God, Minister Tamika Garnes. Good morning, beloved. How are you? Oops. Okay, there we are. Good morning, precious heart. How are you?
Good morning, beloved. How are you? I'm well.
Good, 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 good. Amen, amen. It's always good to hear your voice. Always good to hear your voice. Okay, my love. So good morning to roll call, roll call. Good morning to Tamika Shelton. Good morning, beloved. Love you much. Love you much. Good morning to Lester and Joyce Richardson. Good morning to Joyce in New York. Good morning to Denise in Pennsylvania, to Prophetess Kim. Good morning to Deacon Banks. Good morning to Nikki Tu. Good morning to Rob Lane. Good morning to Isaiah in Chicago. Good morning to the members of New Vision for Life Ministry that chime in with us. Good morning to you. Good morning to all of the regular listeners that are here that we know not your name, but you still, join in with us. Good morning. Folks, listen, 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 listen. I know it's only 9 o'clock in the morning right now, 9:05, but we are going to be talking about sex, S-E-X. Yes, we are. We're going to be talking about sex this morning. And look, I don't know who in the world wants to talk about sex at this time of day, but this is what we're going to be doing today. I encourage you, please, tag somebody, text somebody, get them on the phone, and bring them into this conversation. The title of our topic today is Intimate Issues, 21 Questions That Christian Women Ask About Sex. 21 intimate questions that Christian women ask about sex. And so we're going to spend a couple of weeks in this. I hope that in this time we're going to tear down some walls. We're going to build up some some intimacy, some confidence, some encouragement. That people will feel more secure in what it is they're doing. And the most important thing is the fact to know what it is that according to the word of God that that is permissible. And also there's some things that are not totally clear, but are implied. And you're going to have to use your judgment on some things and ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you as we go into these questions. Also, I want to say that I will be asking you some questions. And ladies, look, we have been friends on here for years. So we have no secrets, okay? So when I ask you a question, please don't hesitate to jump in and to answer those questions. Jump in and answer. Look, we're at the table, okay? Like I said, with our coffee and our tea, we're at the table this morning. So let's just really get in here and enjoy what it is that God has for us today. Minister Tabika, are you in the position? I can't remember exactly, but are you in the place, darling, where you were able to pray this morning?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Awesome. And you can also, you know, greet anyone that you wish to greet as well. So you go right ahead, sweetheart.
Okay. Thank you. Well, I just want to say good morning to each and every one of you. Today is a good day, like Apostle said. I am happy to be able to see this day. And I'm happy that those of you that are on here and Apostle, that God allowed you to see another day. So with that, talking to me, myself as well. So with that, we should learn how to make the best every day that the Lord allows us to see. And we should not take for granted the fact that he did allow us to see another day. Each and every one of us has something that God has called us to do. And if you're not sure of what that is, just ask him. And so we should be living the life that God created just for us. So with that, I'll go into prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your marvelous name, O God. Glory to your marvelous name, Father. For there is none like you, O God. You are Alpha and Omega. Lord, you are Yahweh. You are Emmanuel. You are the great I Am. And we give you praise, O God. We thank you, Lord, for all that you are doing. We thank you for the life that you've given us, Father, in the name of Jesus, O God. We thank you that your promises are yes and amen. We thank you that you are the same God yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you, Lord God, that you have created us, O God, and you have equipped us to do what you called us to do, God. And now I pray that we would just take the time to be still in your presence, to take the time to listen to what it is that you're saying, to be able to relax and just talk to you and wait for your answers and wait for you to speak and wait for you to give us direction before we try to do it on our own. Father, I ask for forgiveness, Lord God, forgiveness for my disobedience, forgiveness, oh God, for the things that you have told me to do or not to do, and I wasn't obedient in that. Father God, I ask for forgiveness. I repent right now in the name of Jesus. Oh God, I ask, Lord God, that you would begin to stir each and every one of us up, God, that you would reignite our fires for those whose flames are just flickering right now. In the name of Jesus, oh God, I pray, Father God, that you would just begin to fill us up and deposit, oh God, all that you have, God, that you have for us, God. Father, I just thank you for being the loving God, the healing God. I thank you for being a deliverer. I thank you, Father God, for everything, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, that even sometimes when we feel like we have no purpose or that we don't matter and we feel like people just overlook us and and just don't have, you know, any regard or love or respect for us. Father, I'm so happy that you, Father God, that you see us, that we matter in your eyes. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, God. We thank you, oh God, for the love that you pour upon us, how you wrap us in your arms, oh God, how you pull us close to you, Father, in the name of Jesus, how you give us your peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding. Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord God. Thank you for making a way. Thank you, Father God, for opening doors. Thank you for protecting us, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, oh God, for just how much, Lord God, how much we mean to you in the name of Jesus. Oh, and we should be reciprocating that same thing. We should be showing you just how much you mean to us. And God, sometimes we're distracted, sometimes we're busy, sometimes we've lost focus, but Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God, we're calling on you to help us refocus. We're calling on you to help us change our mind in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. We're calling on you, Father God, for that peace that clear our path, oh God, so that we can hear you and see you clearly, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh Lord God. And so, Father God, I thank you now. I thank you for all those that you placed in my life, all those that you connected me to, Lord God. I thank you in the name of Jesus, even on heart to heart, Lord God. I thank you for those that you have connected Apostle and I to, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for their dedication to this show. We thank you, Father God, that they participate, they share. Lord, we just thank you in the name of Jesus, God. And I ask, Lord God, that you just begin to shower them, Father God, with your blessings in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. So we say thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We honor you, Father. We need you. And, Lord, we just give our hearts to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you so much, beloved. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Wow,
yes,
all righty. Again, I don't know about any of you, but I am excited. I am excited, and I just snickered to myself as I wait. I got to get my glasses here. I just snickered to myself as I said, I am excited, and some husband somewhere is saying, even on this morning, I wish my wife was excited. I wish my wife was. So, you know, we are hoping that we are able to help out the wives and the husbands, praise be unto God, at this time. Now, last week, as an introduction to this topic, first of all, we're using the book called Intimate Issues, Conversations Woman to Woman, 21 questions Christian women ask about sex. And so last week was our introduction, and it was, what does God think about sex? And through the Word of God, through conversation here, we find out that it is something that, of course, God himself gave us the gift of sex. He gave it to us for pleasure. He gave it to us to procreate or recreate, procreate. He gave it to us as a defense against temptation. He gave us the gift of sex for comfort. He gave us the gift of sex for intimate oneness. He gave us the gift of sex for knowledge. So God initiated this, beloved. God created it. This is something God wants us to be involved with. He wants us to be involved with. So that was the first place. In order to open up this conversation and to feel okay with it, to feel okay with this, you know, we had to go back to the Word to find out, Lord God, is it okay? Not just for us to have sex in our homes, praise be unto God, but to literally that we can discuss this and discuss it openly and still bring you glory in it, still bring you glory in it. We want to dispel some myths that we've heard before in the past and so forth. So we want to do that. So this week the question is, how can I be godly and sensuous? Now listen to that, godly and sensuous. Can we even use those two words in the same sentence? Can we say that without going, ooh, oh my gosh, godly and sensuous? Huh. Let me ask you this, and this right here is something that I really need you to press 1 on your keypad to answer this question that I'm about to put before you, to answer this question. I need someone to give me the definition of a godly wife. When you think of a godly wife, please tell me what comes to mind. What do you think of when you think and hear those words, a godly wife? If someone was to say, you know, to another woman or to your daughter or something, you know, like, I want you to talk to Minister Tabika. You know, she's a godly woman. She's a godly wife. What kind of picture are you thinking about? What are you hoping that the person you're talking to would see when we say a godly wife? So would somebody please press 1 on your keypad so we can bring you in, and let's open this discussion today. What is a godly wife? And, okay, praise be unto God. Good morning, beloved. How are you today?
Good morning, Apostle Banks and your beautiful audience. How are you?
Just fine and highly favored, blessed always, praise God. And go ahead, darling.
And when I think of a godly woman, it's a woman who prays before the Lord, who stands before the Lord, who desires the Lord to mold her, shape her, to be a helpmate, to bring God honor and glory, and to be a blessing to her husband, to her children. It's a woman of integrity. It's a woman that keeps their word with God, herself, and her husband. It's a woman that builds her husband up. It's a woman that wants to walk out what God means when he says, a helpmate.
Okay. All right. Thank you so very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right. Anyone else? When you hear the term godly wife, And that was a very good description, Jackie. Thank you so much, beloved. Now, when you hear the term godly wife, everyone else, please tell me, what do you see as being a godly wife? What do you see? Let me get at least one more person on here. Be brave. It's okay. It's okay. All righty, let's see here. All right, darling, good morning, Joyce. How are you, sweetheart?
Fine, thank you.
Amen, God bless you.
The answer to your question is one who respects her husband. The man needs respect.
One who what?
Respects.
Respects, okay, just didn't hear you, okay. All right. One who respects her husband. All righty, okay. So with everything that Minister Jackie said, we add into that as well a woman that respects her husband. A woman that respects her husband. Okay, so now we've heard what our godly women on this line have said, what their idea is when we say a godly woman. Some of the pastor's wives that were asked this question, some of their remarks were, she fears the Lord, she is transparent, she possesses a gentle and quiet spirit, She's a woman who loves her husband and her children. She's full of wisdom and obedience. She is joyful, content, strength, dignity. These words characterize her, and so forth. All right, so now we've heard what the people here had to say about it. Listening to what it is we're talking about today, what would you say is missing from this description? What would you say is missing from this description? If somebody else want to press one on their keypad to answer that, go right ahead. If not, you know, I'll just jump in to keep us moving so we can cover as much as we can get in here today. But what is missing from this description? Now, I'm going to tell you, when we listen to all of those characteristics, when we listen to that description, everything that's mentioned here has a spiritual quality. When we talk about a godly woman, most Christian women believe that God created them, you know, to be the helpmeet, all the things that was already said here. And yet, nowhere in these descriptions are we saying, now some of you may have thought it, but it wasn't said, that they were created to be sexual women that were fit for their husband to come into a oneness and a unity with their husbands. Even knowing God's perspective, listening to what we started out with last week, even knowing God's perspective, even knowing all of the different things I listed this morning that he created sex for, And each one of those things I mentioned, there was a scripture to clarify that. Even with that, we don't hear the people saying that God created, you know, sex for our pleasure, and a godly woman can be sensuous, can be sexy. We don't hear that. One of the reasons is mostly because of the fact that the word sensuous is normally viewed in a negative manner instead of the manner it should be perceived in. Webster defines sensuous as pertaining to the senses, appealing to the senses, alive to the pleasure to be received through the senses. Sensuous is a positive term. Now, sensual, on the other hand, is most often used in a negative term, referring to the unrestrained sexual appetite. It is most often used in the wrong manner, used in an ungodly manner. But throughout this discussion that we're going to be having, sensuous is going to be used in a positive term. It is to be alive to pleasure. It is alive to the pleasure to be received through your senses with your husband. With your husband. This is exactly what God wants us to do. This is what he wants us to do. Many women through this book, There were well over 1,000 women, by the way, that were interviewed for the book. And many women at this question, do you give yourselves permission to be sensuous, a sensuous wife? Hear me, saints of God, hear me. Do you give yourself permission to be a sensuous wife? And when I first read that, I had a flashback of when I was dating Mr. Banks, and in dating him, that he wasn't at that time at when I started dating him, or we started hanging out together. He wasn't the only man that I was going out to dinner with or having activities with and so forth. No sex involved at this time. He that wasn't what was going on. We were hanging out. And then several prophets had come to our church and had prophesied that, you know, that this man was the man that God had called to be my covering, my head, my husband, basically. And when that was said, I remember telling and talking to my pastor, you know, some other Christian acquaintances and so forth, that God gave me permission to love this man. He gave me permission to love this man. Everything else I was doing was on my own accord. It was my own accord. But when I got those prophetic words, it was like a seal that was placed on the relationship. I'm giving you permission to love this man. And when I read this question in the book, women, women, are you giving yourself permission to be a sensuous wife? Are you giving yourself permission to be that? You know, we want to be godly women. We want to represent, you know, Christ at all times in our relationship. However, you know, there are some women who, because of things that we have been taught, their lives have been dammed up, you know, as far as their sexual passions are concerned, in the attempt to stay pure. They have put that passion and so forth to the side. They can't let themselves flow freely, afraid that what they will do will not be considered as pure, so they don't allow the sexual feelings to flow. They've ignored the sexuality, and then you find you marry, you have a mate that is highly sensitive, men who find it very easy, you know, to be excited, turned on, wanting sex. A man wanting sex in his marriage, well, he doesn't even have to be married, but most men want sex, you know, that's almost the number one thing on their list when they're in a relationship with a woman. They want to be intimate with a woman. And women come at the whole sexual an encounter from a totally different point of view. Just the way that we've put things on the shelf as far as our purity is concerned. There are others who have not been able to forgive themselves for past sexual sins, and they feel that part of the penance must be that they can't enjoy sex too much. You know, I can do this a little bit, but I can't, you know, enjoy it too much. It wouldn't be right before God if I do this. You know, it's nasty or it's indecent. Let's use that word. It's indecent for me to want to do that. So no, I can't do this. I can't do this. Women have disassociated themselves from anything erotic or sensuous in order to be godly. Sweethearts, beloved, it is okay to be godly and sensuous all at the same time. It is okay to be godly and sensuous all at the same time. Rather than eating, let's say you made a pot of soup with all these different vegetables and goodies in the soup that's going to make this, you know, one of the best soups that you have ever eaten. And instead of you digging in that soup, you know, with your spoon and getting every vegetable that's in it and so forth, you're picking out certain pieces of the soup, certain ingredients of the soup. You're picking it apart. You're going to eat some, and you're going to leave the rest. And God wants you to delight in the entire pot of soup. He doesn't want you to deny your hunger. He doesn't want us to deny our hunger. When we discard the fact that God has created us to come together and to enjoy one another, it could end up that your sexual life could be very routine. It could be passionless. You are not bringing yourself to the place where you're able to experience the erotic part of your relationship. It seems like we would be too much like the world. These are things that we come up with in our minds with too much of being like the world. One of the scriptures that sometimes is used to help us make that separation. Leslie in here, we're going to look at one of the women that were interviewed. She justifies her thinking with scriptures such as, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. That is Galatians 5 and 16. That was the NIV version. Or set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. Colossians 3:3-2. Now, unfortunately, these scriptures have been misinterpreted. She associated desire and earthly things in these verses with sexual pleasure, when in reality, they refer to selfish pursuits. It had nothing to do with your sexual pleasure between you and your husband. It was selfish pursuits. So her spiritual idealism conflicted with the realities of physical living. She was a physical being in a physical world. How could she stay spiritual? And her solution was to separate the two in the two different realms and two different pockets. Physical things such as sex went into one compartment. Spiritual things went into another compartment. And in her passion to become a godly woman, she ended up becoming a divided woman, not realizing that the two of these could operate together. The authors of this book describe it as being a woman in a two-story house. The top floor is the floor of spirituality. And the bottom floor is where the sexuality was concerned. And in between the two floors is a brick barrier separating the spiritual self from your sexual self. Because if I want to be godly, I can't be too earthly. And sex definitely is earthy. I can't allow myself to experience the pleasure. Or if I do, I can only do it to a certain degree, to a certain extent. I don't want to get carried away and become too fleshly. Women of God, and to the men that are on there here, because we do have our faithful male listeners, listen, that again is not how God intended it to be. He integrated our sexuality with our spirituality. He meant for the spiritual and the sex to melt together. Why else would God take the ultimate sexual act, sexual intercourse between a husband and a wife, and liken it to the ultimate spiritual experience, the union between Christ and the church? This is what the Father himself has done. Just as a husband and wife experience deep joy as they lose themselves and merge into the oneness at the moment of sexual climax, we experience ultimate joy as we become one with Jesus in union that leads to incomprehensible joy. And sexual intercourse mirrors our relationship to God and causes us to worship him for giving us such good gifts. Beloved, I want to say, and I thank God, you know, for that I can say this. I know in my marriage, in my previous marriage, I know that there were times when we experienced spirituality during the intercourse. I know that it was a time that this lovemaking that we were doing was very spiritual. It came from just being a natural act of sex to a spiritual place, uniting spiritually to the place where it was worship, to the place where, you know, and I can't say this for everybody, but to a place where there was such beautiful ecstasy that it brought tears to your eyes even. And it was a spiritual, I mean, I know the difference between what's spiritual and what is just pure unadulterated sex, okay? I knew the difference. And it was a pleasure. It was a joy. It was an honor. It was an honor, saints of God. And this, again, as, like I said, I began to read in this book, I said, you know, I didn't know as much as I've learned now reading the book, I didn't know that it was okay with God to feel that way. At one time, I thought it was almost blasphemy, you know, because it was such a height spiritually that I'm like, oh my God, how could I feel? Like, I felt like I was getting closer, you know, to God during a sexual act. And I'm like, wow, you know, like this can't be right. This just can't be right. But it was for the pleasure in the marriage. It's what's supposed to keep us, you know, in oneness with one another. All the different things that I shared with you, you know, that we are supposed to understand that sex has a part in all of this. Beloved, I see your hand up, honey. Go ahead, please.
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Yes.
Okay. So I just wanted to agree with you about the spiritual part of the intimacy, because, like, I know what you're talking about, because it has happened in my marriage, and it's almost like it's like when you're married. And it's like, you're fine, you've done it the correct way. Like, you're not having sex, you know, outside of marriage, you're actually married. And it's like, it's satisfying. It's like, oh my goodness, I'm doing this right. I can enjoy it. This is my husband. I'm not sinning. You know, he's the only one that I'm having sex with, you know, that, and so it makes, when you're in the moment, you know, those thoughts come to mind. I know it did for me, and it does for me, because, you know, my previous life, I had multiple partners. And so when I finally did it right, it was like, oh my goodness, I did it right. This is my husband. Like, I no longer have to feel the guilt and shame, you know, afterwards. I no longer have to worry about that over my head, that I'm actually having sex outside of marriage, and now I'm you know, embedded in sin, and so it does bring a deeper pleasure to the bedroom. Because you know that it is, you don't, it's right in God's eyes, you know. And as long as you're not defiling your marriage, you know, your bedroom, and you know how people do all that other weird stuff in their marriages, like bringing other people into the bedroom with them, which is, that is not of God. And yes, you're married, but that is not of God. But you know, just that spiritual gratification, if I can say, when it comes to lovemaking with your spouse, your one and only, it does bring a deeper pleasure to the bedroom.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, beloved. Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you so much. And you know, normally this conversation, and for us to be able to say this to one another, normally, I mean, that would have been taboo, totally taboo, you know, to be able to say this out publicly. Yes, I reach a spiritual height when I'm with my mate, you know. And we, look, everyone that's on this line that has had sex with your mates, we know there are times when you're having sex and there's, you're not in a spiritual place, praise be unto God, then you can tell the difference between sex and lovemaking. Okay, you can tell the difference between the two. But just to know still that, just like the woman of God said, that this is my mate, this is my husband, and we can go on a roller coaster ride in here, and it be okay, and I can still be a godly woman. I can still be the wife of the pastor. I can still be the pastor of the church. I can still sing on the choir, and it is okay. Okay, to God be the glory. God beckons us, and he says, be clothed with my perspective, for everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected. It is received with gratitude, for it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. That's 1 Timothy 4, verses 4 and 5. So now, did you hear what God declared? He declared that everything is good and nothing is to be rejected if we receive it with thanksgiving. And here the word everything includes sexuality. For everything, including sexuality, comes from God alone. Everything, including your sexuality, lives by his power. And everything, including your sexuality, is for his glory. To him be glory evermore. Romans 11 and 36. Everything encompasses everything. Everything. All of life. When we look at our life, our gifts, talents, faith, our spirit, our bodies, all of life, our possessions, our husband, our children, our jobs, and our sexuality, all of this comes from God and God alone, and it's all for his glory. We can continue to live in two-story houses. Sex is up, you know, down here in the basement, and my spirituality is up here on the second floor. Or we can bring this together. We can bring this together. The intimacy that God's gift to us is to be honored in our relationship. If we fail to acknowledge that our sexuality is part of our physical makeup, then we are leading to a place where neither one of us, husband and or wife, would be satisfied in that sexual place, that intimate place that God intended for us to be. We want to be able to thank God for what he has and brought it together with our sexuality. Again, understand that sexuality and spirituality are not separate and divided. They're not the top and the bottom floors of the house, but they form a circle, a whole circle, an unbroken circle. Like the circle of blessings, it's important to be filled with the Spirit in your bed with your husband and ministering to him as it is for you to be filled with the Spirit of God when you're teaching the Bible and ministering. It's important to be filled with it. Listen, one of my favorite CDs back in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s, T.D. Jakes had a CD out called Sacred Love Songs. Sacred Love Songs. I'm telling you, that is one of my favorite CDs for couples to listen to. One of my favorite ones. There's a song on there, and I can't remember the title of it, but it's where the woman is ministering to her husband, God forbid, her husband, and she's telling him to come on in the house, drop your dirty clothes from work, you know, just drop them on the floor. I'll take care of that. Come sit down. Basically, let me massage you. Let me comfort you. Let me bring you into that place where we can come together as one. Let me love on you. Let me show you how much I appreciate what you have gone through during the day and so forth and so on. I'm telling you, thanks to God, when I had my couples group at East Baltimore Deliverance Church, when I had the group listening to those songs on the CD, listening to those songs, they were coming back to me and telling me how it heightened their sexuality, how it heightened their time of coming together, just to hear, you know, how wonderful it was that what we're doing sexually is ministry. It is ministry unto your mate. And in the eyes of God, it is ministry. When we look at the Song of Solomon, listen, beloved, when we look at the Song of Solomon, in that, Solomon and the Shulamite woman, they were engaged in steamy, erotic, sensuous lovemaking. And then all of a sudden, in reading that, a third person appears in the room, and that third person was God. Tenderly, the Almighty Creator gazes upon the naked lovers engaged in physical pleasures and extends his hand in spiritual blessings. And in Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 1, he says, eat, friends, drink, and enjoy, O lovers. Imagine God is there. He sees the passion. He hears the sighs of delight. He watches as the lovers caress one another in the most intimate places. He is witness to the fleshly, earthly sights, sounds, and smells. He sees it all, and then he urges the lovers to feast and to drink abundantly of the exquisite pleasure that he created for them to enjoy. You know, a lot of us have a problem even thinking that God would watch this, thinking that he is enjoying what he has put before us. You know, a lot of people have problems thinking that God would be pleased with that. But, beloved, he is. He rejoices in our sensuousness. He rejoices in it. He wants us to hold nothing back. He wants us to open up the floodgates of physical passion and immerse ourselves in it. Immerse ourselves in it. And you may say, how can I give myself permission to go deeper into my sexuality? Because I see now that this is part of who God created me to be. But I'm not sure how this translates practically. What do I do? How should I act? What does a godly, sensuous woman look like? What does that look like? I'm telling you, beloved, it's taking us to a new place, a new place. Let's see here. God holds examples for us to follow as we seek to display his character and be conformed in his image. If, for example, we desire to grow in the attribute of loyalty, we might look at Ruth. If we seek to forgive others, Joseph might show us the way. If, however, we desire to grow in our sensualness as wives, we can study and emulate Solomon's bride. Solomon's bride. So again, as we look at that book, the poetic way that the book was written and so forth, there's a lot that is being explained to us in this. When we look at Solomon's wife as a godly and sensuous woman, let's look at it. Let's break this down real quick here about characteristics that came out in the Song of Solomon. She is responsive. Shulamith whispers longingly in Solomon's ear, "May my garden breathe out fragrance. Let its spices be wafted abroad. May my beloved come into his garden and eat its choice fruit." That's chapter 4, verse 16. And you hear what it's saying. She is adventurous. At times she receives sexual pleasure from her husband. Other times she is the initiator, aggressively stimulating her lover through intoxicating fragrances, seductive sights, the promise of sexual ecstasy. This clever wife titillates her husband by suggesting that they take a vacation together in the country and make love outdoors. There among the vineyard, she will offer him old sexual delicacy and new sexual delights. That's chapter 7, verses 11 through 13. She is uninhibited. She tells her husband where to touch her so she can become sexually aroused. That's chapter 2, verse 6, chapter 4, verse 16. She tantalizes him with sexual treats to make his mouth water, enticing him with her body. Her sensuousness reaches an apex when she performs an erotic nude dance, provocatively swaying her hips before him as in an invitation to lovemaking. Baby doll, this is in the Word of God. This is in the Word of God. She's expressive. She says, "My beloved is mine and I am his." She expresses praise for her husband's masculinity. "How handsome you are, my beloved. Like an apple tree among the trees of the forest, so is my beloved among young men." Beloved, do you hear this? She's sensuous. She's a sensuous woman. She's tuned into her body and the situation, the stimulation that she receives through her five senses. Remember, senses, sensual is about the senses. She delights in her senses. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verses 10 through 16, she gives into her sexuality and thinks about her husband in very sensuous terms. Solomon is not present. She gives into her sexuality and thinks about her husband in very sensuous terms. Solomon is not present, and she meditates on her husband's body, describing him with erotic imagery. In her mind, she undresses her husband, beginning at the top of his head and working her way down. She dwells on his sensual lips, his muscular shoulders, strong legs, and ends her daydreaming by saying, "His mouth is full of sweetness, and he is wholly desirable." Her thoughts prepared her to act out her sensuousness with her husband. She was a sensuous, sexual woman, and God describes her sensuousness in explicit and erotic terms, and he wants us to understand the beauty and the freedom of our sexuality. So through the young bride, God unveils a portrait of a godly, sent you his wife, and because his blessing is upon her, we can follow her example with confidence. Beloved, you can be godly and sensuous at the same time. Let me bring this caller in, please. Good morning, beloved. How are you, sweetheart?
I'm wonderful. Enjoying
Amen.
The discussion.
God bless you.
I did want to add one thing. As a sensuous senior, I feel that one missing component is the male, is the husband. The initiation into sex, I think a lot of husbands don't understand foreplay. Women, although we are usually the initiators, husbands really need to study foreplay. And that's where
ma'am.
I think more of the spiritual component would take place while you're making love. Would you agree or not?
I totally agree. And that's part of these 21 questions. That is part of it, you know, like he is microwave and you're a crock pot, a slow cooker, okay? So we do make the comparison between that. And a man does not take any time at all to heat up, get in there, want to do what he got to do, and go on about his business. The woman needs that foreplay. You know, and the foreplay doesn't just begin in the bedroom. And I don't want to get too far. You brought up a good thing here. I want to get into that when we get to that chapter, but you are so right. The foreplay does not begin in the bedroom. It does not begin when he walks in the door and he kisses you. Your foreplay starts throughout the day. It can start the moment he kisses you goodbye because he's going to work, or you kiss him goodbye. And when you have thoughts of each other, you send each other text messages, baby, I'm thinking about you. You're warming her up. You're heating her up. You're stroking her. You know, saw something today that reminded me of you. Just wanted to drop a line to let you know you were on my mind. All of that is foreplay. So as men that are listening to this, and prayerfully we'll have more men joining us, as you're listening to this, you know, if you do these type of things throughout the day, by the time you and your mate come together in the evening, she's primed. You have primed the pump. She is primed. And then you did all the verbal stuff, sending her mental pictures of what it is, you know, that you're thinking about her about. Then you come home, and then you can add the physical foreplay into it. Beloved, how can a woman not give you her all when you have done thus as I'm sharing with you? Nikki, thank you so very much. That is definitely a very important component, and we will, you know, cover it even more. But yes, honey, yes. Foreplay is so vitally important. We must engage in that. And I pray that the men that are on this line will understand that it is something to be engaged in, not just at the bedroom. Okay, we're going to go to the next caller. Hold on one moment, please. Good morning, beloved. Your last four digits are 7730. Good morning.
Good morning, beloved. How are you?
I'm fine, precious heart. How are you?
I'm okay.
Okay.
Now, this topic is a wonderful topic and so needed to be had, but you got to know.
Yes.
As one of your sheep that look at you as my mama, I'm having a little hard time. I'm having a little bit of a hard time with you saying certain things on this line. But what I wanted to, foreplay is very, very necessary alone. Just foreplay while tapping into your partner's love language. Hello? Hello?
Karina, this is Tamika. Can you hear me? Hello? Hello, everyone. I am not sure what happened to Apostle Banks. I am not home to look at the switchboard, so I don't know if her call dropped or not. Give me 1 second. Hold on 1 second. So somehow the host part of it got disconnected. So she's going to try to call back in. But Sabrina, if you want to continue with what you were saying, and then hopefully by the time you're done, she may be been able to reconnect. Sabrina, are you still there? Okay, I don't hear her.
Hello?
Hello, beloved. I can hear you.
Okay, praise God. Boy, that was not right. Sabrina, are you still there, beloved? Oh, man, I want her back. I want her back because that was something that she was really, really getting into. Let me bring Deacon Farr in. Tamika, do me a favor if you could, honey. Dial Sabrina and tell her to call back in.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, Deacon Farr.
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
I am fantabulous, sir. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I came in the middle of the show and I didn't know what was going on. So I kept myself quiet to figure out where we going. But, amen. Amen. Okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, I agree with Sister called in. You know, I said, you know what? I see the apostle a different light right now. But, okay. Anyway. but, you know, a lot of what you're saying is true. And it does, and when it comes to marriage, and I just say from my perspective, you're right. You have to, the whole intimacy part and the sexual relationship in a marriage, it's important that these are things that you really have to be able to pay attention to. And, you know, for husbands, I put it like this. It's just like our conversion and our transformation from being from being a boyfriend to a husband, or being that guy doing your thing out there to being committed to one woman. It's a process of learning. It's a transition. I know y'all was rolling in there about foreplay, you know, but you know, that's a thing that you don't need when you out there. When you have different women, you don't worry about foreplay. So it's a learning curve, and I think between the couple, it's something that has to be discussed. That's the biggest thing I've taken out of what you're saying, because I found the book that you were talking about. But see, these are the things. I go back to the beginning of all of it, what it means to be a husband, what it means to be a wife, and your intimacy is going to change. I see the other sister that shared about, you know, it's different when you're in a committed relationship and the sexual, it's different. It is. It becomes different.
Yeah.
Even if you know, everybody wasn't a virgin when they got married. But
right.
as you grow together, it's going to be different. It's going to it's going to take on a different kind of pleasure. It's going to take on a different the whole. It's just going to be different. But
mm-hmm.
it's only going to be different if each partner is patient with one another and are transparent and open and have the discussions before, have the discussions.
Yeah.
Because, sometimes I'll say this and then I'll come back to you, because people linger and sometimes in sexual ruts, sexual complacency,
mm-hmm.
and never talk about it for years in
mm-hmm.
marriage. When it becomes a duty, when it becomes a responsibility, and you was rolling in the Song of Solomon, and to me that should ignite some folk and think about what you're doing. But unfortunately,
absolutely.
Again, these are some of the struggles and challenges in marriage, because in the
mm-hmm.
intimacy part, you get into a rut. It becomes routine. It's not. There's no excitement, because even for men, for brothers, sometimes the chase is more exciting than actually catching. The
right.
pursuit is start of a man. I can tell you, I'll say this for the brothers out there. The pursuit is more exciting than actually getting to that place. Because sometimes
mm-hmm.
all the things we do to attract and keep a woman, that is more challenging than, coming to the end. Because, that's why it's a process. And then marriage is different, because now you have to learn how to pursue your wife, the same woman, you have to learn how to pursue the same woman all the time. That gives us that challenge. And I think that's a challenge for all husbands and for men, to pursue the
mm-hmm.
same woman. Because unfortunately, I'll just put it out there. Pursuing, that's the thing that a lot of brothers can get stimulated from, because I'm pursuing different women. Because once I have
mm-hmm.
gotten her, it's not the same, and that's why it's easy to move on to the next one. But now the challenge
mm-hmm.
for us, especially as men of God, and for all men, is to now, how do I continue to pursue the same woman over the next
mm-hmm.
forever? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So. And
yeah.
again, this is about the partners coming together and having these communications, having ideas, and being in to work these things out and to just come together and make this part of
yeah.
your marriage just most as important as the finances. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
all the other things we worry about, put this up there on the priority list. How are we going to continue our intimacy for the next 10, 15, 20, 30 years? Same way you plan for retirement, you plan for your kids to go to college, you plan for a mortgage. Let's plan our intimacy for the next 30 years and how are we going to overcome it. And the sister called in about us, the senior. You're right, because, it don't stop, but it's going to be different. You ain't going to be swinging on the things at 20 that you can get at 60. You got to get some other things in there to do. I'll leave it like that.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Apostle.
You're welcome, Deacon. Thank you. Thank you so much. I always love it when you chime in and giving us the male perspective. I love it. So thank you. I really appreciate it. All righty, beloved. We're going back to Minister Safrina. We're coming back to you, beloved. What you were saying, I guess nobody or the enemy didn't want us to hear it, but please come back again and lead us into there.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right. Well, before I say what I initially was going to say, I wanted to touch what is what was just said. When it
yeah.
comes to,
mm-hmm.
From my perspective, when marriages get into this rut, because they do get into
uh-huh.
a rut,
yeah.
I think a lot of times us couples, we forget that we have to come back to the table. And as marriage evolves, we have to redefine what that's going to be for us, because what it worked for us in our 20s is not going to necessarily work for us in our 30s. And
mm-hmm.
We have to come back to the table and have those really for some people, uncomfortable conversations, even when he's men about pursuing, pursuing is about the pursuit and, being with different people. I mean, if you're having the right conversation as a married couple, you can come home to a different wife every night. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just about
having
the right conversation. It's about implementing things. It could be role play. I could be Susie this night. I could be Janet the next night. It's just about what's comfortable for the two and really making that clear on both ends, because it's not just about satisfying a wife and it's not just about satisfying a husband. But what I initially came to say, like, I'm having a hard time over here. You know, I've been with you for a long time. You're my mama. So although I'm comfortable with this conversation altogether, I'm not necessarily comfortable with hearing certain things you're talking about, okay?
I totally understand.
However, I think it is a very necessary conversation. I think a lot, not just me or the generation that I'm from, I'm comfortable with the conversation. You know, I'm comfortable with the pulling in the sensuality and all of that stuff that you were talking about. I think a lot of times in ministry, certain churches just don't have those conversations, and then they condemn. They make people feel dirty. They forget about it being in the Bible. They don't make it seem like it's a very it's a conversation that can be had out loud as a couple. So I commend you for, of course, bringing this to the table as you always do. You will have those uncomfortable conversations for couples, and you all have really been saying some things that is necessary. And I think when it comes to couples when they are older in age, and they can't necessarily do certain things they did back in their 20s and 30s, there are so many things out here on the market that can assist couples. And I think a lot of older couples are a little prudish, for even conceptualizing anything extra aside from them in the bedroom to assist them in having a very long-lasting love life. So I just encourage all the older couples here online. There are some very there are some things out here in this world that can be brought into the marriage room that can really help you as a couple get to wherever you're trying to get to, and you both still are able to really connect with one another in that way. That's all I wanted to say.
Amen. Amen, beloved. Thank you so much for that. Thank you so very much. And as she's mentioning, there are different things, that we can use to stimulate one another and so forth, and you are not in sin. You are not in sin. You're not bringing in a third party. You're not, doing something that is ungodly. If you're using a feather to stimulate your wife or whatever the case may be. But saints, there are things that you can do. And again, as the older couple, I was snickering as she was talking and mentioning the older couple, and she's hearing quote unquote mama talking like this, and like mama is 70 years old, okay? 70 years old. But hey, this is part of life. This is part of life, and we do need to discuss it. And as we learn more, as we are going through our book, as we learn more, we also should be educating our young women as well. And for the older women, we have to rejuvenate. We have to bring back
and so forth. In fact, to bring our topic to a close, to bring our topic to a close today, we are looking at the fact here again in this chapter, can we be godly and be sensuous all at the same time? We concur that it can happen. It absolutely can happen. Understand that loving your husband can become an act of worship to God. Understand that God has given you permission to be sensuous. And then what we want to do is to pray and ask God to give us a new mind. Your mind must be reprogrammed with new information. All of the voices that shout, "Don't be sensuous," must be replaced with God's voice. He is not only giving you permission to be sensuous, he encourages it. Memorize some of the verses in Songs of Song of Solomon, where he's saying, you know, eat, drink deeply, O lovers. This is God speaking to them. Ask God to make his perspective your perspective. Thank him that even now he is renewing your mind, Romans 12:2. Pray, God, give me an undivided heart. Jesus warns us in Luke 11:17, a house divided against itself will fall. God desires that we reclaim the pleasure of our bodies as much as we reclaim the purity of our souls. He longs for us to be whole women, not divided women, who separate our spirituality and sexuality. Listen to God's promise through the prophet Ezekiel. I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. That's Ezekiel 11:19. If we separate our spiritual self from our sexual self, it is if we have a heart of stone and a heart with a brick barrier between the two stories of our being. But God says he will remove the stone. He promises to put his spirit in our flesh and give us an undivided heart. All we can do is ask. And then the third prayer is, God, help me to be the sensuous lover you created me to be. God intends for us to experience sexual pleasure, to invigorate our senses, to draw our hearts to shout with gratitude and praise to God, to accept and delight in the sensuous, is to be enraptured by the gift of God. God has given us permission to be sensuous. Will you give yourself permission? If you still feel reluctant, go back over the things we've talked about, God's perspective of sex, and about can we be sensuous and godly at the same time. So go back over that. And then here, we'll end with this. God, thank you for placing your hand of blessing on our intimate lovemaking. Thank you that you have told us to feast on our sexual joy, to revel in the exquisite feelings that you have created, to desire to begin to deeply taste the sexual joy you have for me. I yield to your spirit. Teach me to become the sensuous woman you created me to be. Praise be unto God. Saints of God, I love you. I love you. I thank you so much for indulging me with these conversations. I pray that it has, you know, caused for you to go to the table and let's do some talking with our husbands. Let's do some talkies and let that talk go from there to where God wants you to be intimate, one with the other, and even in a spiritual intimacy. I love you. God bless you. And please come back again next week
and bring somebody else with us, I promise you the conversation will be heated. God bless you. Love you all. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.